Butterflies would turn someday.
There are days when grief breaks through language. There are days when grief breaks through before language can line itself up neatly. And when a woman lets that grief be seen, unfiltered, unarranged, not translated for anyone else's comfort, there's always a certain kind of response waiting for her. Not care, not stillness, but correction. This morning, State Representative Angie Nixon cried out online. She said a curse, and she just said, "I can't believe it." And it was something to affect that. "I can't believe it. I'm thinking about her parents at this moment. I can't believe it." And she was immediately hit with people admonishing her for what they called vague posting. Unfortunately, more and more, we live in this type of society where people want to be informed onlookers without offering compassion. So for a long time, women have been expected to carry pain in ways that do not disturb the room. You know, through history, through religion, culture, have all in their own ways trained people to expect, especially women, to soften. That if it's sharp, we want y'all to soften it. Explain to us what is complex. Package what is unbearable. And present it in a way that can be consumed without discomfort. So when a woman speaks from the center of fresh grief, this was first thing this morning, without formatting it for public ease, it disrupts that expectation. What she was responding to was the murder of her friend, Nancy Bowen. The alleged part that I slipped up was allegedly by her husband. That alone is devastating and shocking. But this is April 2026. December 2025, the same family, the parents, lost Nancy's brother, Donovan, to suicide. And Donovan was a Parkland shooting survivor. And then it sounds like there was some struggle with mental health. So he was lost, and we didn't even get to the 1 year of having a, you know, that difficult thing where someone passes and you have to get to that 1 year. Cause I'm taking a breath if you live long enough, grief will show up to your doorstep at least once, maybe more. So we've got to learn how to be, learning to be in community is to learn how to handle grief. Because everybody, unfortunately, you live long enough, you get visited by grief. So we got to learn to be better at this, much better than we are. Sometimes people, especially women, especially young people, cry out. And there are no words. It's not the time to pull out the phone. It's not unless you're going to pull out that phone to call somebody else with expertise to help. It's not the time. It's the time to offer compassion and empathy. And that's hard for a lot of people. And we've got to work on that, because being a part of community, being a part of a neighborhood, of any group of people is learning, teaching ourselves how to respond to grief. Now, this disruption was met with discipline. Calling her words vague was really not about clarity. It was about control. Some of the people even said, hey, you know, mute this account, or, you know, just started slurring her, started calling her names. In this, her hour of grief. Because, see, this is about the quiet demand that even in the face of death, even in the face of a family burying their second child, not even 6 months stretch, a woman is still expected to organize her pain, organize it, and present it to others so that it is palatable to them. Even she's not settled yet. A lot of us, we saw it and we knew immediately, oh my goodness, she just got the news. And that, my friends, when people do that, is manipulation. It takes something human, grief, and reframes it as failure of communication. Not seeing it and saying it for what it is. Oh, she's, oh, wow, she's having, ooh. I'm sorry, are you okay? How can we help? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Or just listen. Just listen. It shifts the focus away from what was said and on to how well it was delivered. You didn't deliver it to my, you know, you didn't see to my comfort. You didn't deliver it right. I don't like that. And in so doing, it erases the reality that some pain does not arrive in complete sentences. I just saw a story told. And the woman was the only survivor, was telling the story, and she was spending time with this guy. She said, I only felt safe, you know, I only have a few people I feel safe around. I felt safe around him. And they're sitting there just chilling. And she said, well, he began to stutter. And she said to him, get those words out. What are you trying to say? And he's stuttering because he sees guys rolling up with automatic weapons, and he can't get those words out. Not to even warn her, the person she feels safe around. Sometimes emotions come out like that. Being part of a community means we have to make ourselves, this is part of growth, we have to make ourselves comfortable with grief. Because it comes expected. It's so sad. It's so hard. It's so devastating. Nothing's ever going to be the same again. But this is what it means to be human. When women speak without, listen, there's a current moving here. When women speak without cushioning our emotions, without tending to the audience first, it exposes how much people rely on women to regulate the emotional environment for them. I need you to make things comfortable for me. Because when I'm uncomfortable, this is my response. I curse. I get angry. I don't want other people to engage with you. That's a you problem. Because grief comes and human beings are human. So instead of sitting with discomfort, some people reach for some sort of authority. They get to correcting. You didn't say it right. They get to criticizing. They curse. They make, you know, threaten you, threaten your job, all of that. Not because the grief is unclear, even when you bring clarity for them. But because I don't like my grief uncontained. I don't like it pluffed up for me. And uncontained grief, especially from women, has always made systems, groups, people uneasy. There's nothing inappropriate about grief that is still forming. To be truthful, grief lasts a lot longer than we give it credit for. There's nothing wrong with a woman speaking from the middle of shock, screaming. Nothing. There's nothing that needs to be fixed when someone is responding to the weight of a family. Whew, losing two children. One to a violence that rippled out over years, and another at least seemingly taken just so suddenly. Now here's what's inappropriate is the instinct to police that grief, to demand coherence before offering care, to treat emotional expression as something that must pass inspection before it is allowed to exist. Women are not here to translate devastation into palatable language. They're not responsible for making tragedy easier for others to process. Tragedy is hard to process. And they do not owe the world clarity on a timeline that ignores the reality of what they are witnessing and feeling. On days like this, when the noise is sharp, when people are quick to correct and slow to care, it may help to remember, clarity does not always come first. Truth often arrives in fragments. That's just life. Protecting that reality, allowing women to feel, to speak, to react without immediate scrutiny is not a breakdown of order. Actually, it's a preservation of our very humanity. Especially when children have been lost. Especially when families are caring more than most people can even comprehend. Especially when the weight of it cannot be neatly spoken. Women do not need permission to feel out loud. We don't need approval to express grief before it is fully formed. Sometimes it's that way. We don't need to earn compassion from anyone. Seeing manipulation for what it is, this quiet insistence that women must perform their pain correctly, is a form of clarity all of its own. It's very powerful. And even on the most overwhelming days, such as this one here, this one we woke up to, that she was gone. Not that much longer after her brother. That clarity is power. And you're allowed to recognize it. You're allowed to step back from it. You're allowed in your life, in your space, in your circles, to refuse it. Because protecting your voice, your boundaries, and your humanity, grief is part of the human experience if you live long enough, especially. And it strengthens the entire world, even when others can't even see it yet. So you don't ever have to say, well, I'm not being professional. I'm not being this. I'm not being that. You're being human. You're being human. That's what's going to keep us going. Protect your greatness. Every day, we don't get great days all the time. We don't get good days, semi-good days, nothing. Just appreciate and have gratitude for what you do have. Be thankful. And grieve. Feel free to grieve, guys. It's part of the human experience. I want to extend my sincerest condolences to the family of Nancy and Donovan. I am so sorry. Angie Nixon, I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for all of you, because I'm looking at the pictures online and it, you know, I'm sorry, y'all. It's got to be. I know it's hitting me. I can't even imagine how it's hitting those who know her, particularly those in the area, particularly those who are, you know, Parkland students, all of those who are connected, you know, in so many ways, you know. Yeah. Thank you all for listening. We're going to keep talking about violence and abuse. And this is why we keep talking about it. This is why. Because I'm tired. Ugh. I'm so tired of losing people. So in any case, thanks y'all. Y'all have a great one. And challenge ourselves to be greater, right? All right.
This is Tanya GJ Prince. Thanks for listening. Y'all be great.